Section 3, the New Testament Pattern. Chapter 6, Our Example in Welfare Ministry.
Christ stands before us as the great pattern. Make Christ's work an example. Constantly he went about doing good, feeding the hungry and healing the sick. No one who came to him for sympathy was disappointed. The commander of the heavenly courts, he was made flesh and dwelt among us, and his life work is an example of the work we are to do. His tender, pitying love rebukes our selfishness and heartlessness. Manuscript 55, 1901. Christ stood at the head of humanity in the garb of humanity. So full of sympathy and love was his attitude that the poorest was not afraid to come to him. He was kind to all, easily approached by the most lowly. He went from house to house, healing the sick, feeding the hungry, comforting the mourners, soothing the afflicted, speaking peace to the distressed. He was willing to humble himself, to deny himself. He did not seek to distinguish himself. He was the servant of all. It was his meat and drink to be a comfort and a consolation to others, to gladden the sad and heavy-laden ones with whom he daily came in contact. Christ stands before us as a pattern man, the great medical missionary, an example for all who should come after. His love, pure and holy, blessed all who came within the sphere of its influence. His character is absolutely perfect, free from slightest stain of sin. He came as an expression of the perfect love of God, not to crush, not to judge and condemn, but to heal every weak, defective character, to save man and women from Satan's power. He is the Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer of the human race. He gives to all the invitation, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." What then is the example that we are to set to the world? We are to do the same work that the great medical missionary undertook in our behalf. We are to follow the path of self-sacrifice trodden by Christ. Special Testimonies, Series B, Number 8, pages 32 and 33. Christ moved with compassion. When Christ saw the multitudes that gathered about him, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Christ saw the sickness, the sorrow, the want and degradation of the multitudes that thronged his steps. To him were presented the needs and woes of humanity throughout the world. Among the high and low, the most honored and the most degraded, he beheld souls who were longing for the very blessings he had come to bring. Today the same need exists. The world is in need of workers who will labor as Christ did for the suffering and the sinful. There is indeed a multitude to be reached. The world is full of sickness, suffering, distress, and sin. It is full of those who need to be ministered unto, the weak, the helpless, the ignorant, the degraded. Testimonies, Volume 6, page 254. The model we should copy. The true missionary spirit is the spirit of Christ. The world's Redeemer was the great model missionary. Many of his followers have labored earnestly and unselfishly in the cause of human salvation, but no man's labor can bear comparison with the self-denial and sacrifice, the benevolence of our exampler. The love which Christ has evinced for us is without a parallel. How earnestly he labored! How often was he alone in fervent prayer, on the mountainside or in the retirement of the garden, pouring out his supplications with strong crying and tears! How perseveringly he urged his petitions in behalf of sinners! Even on the cross he forgot his own sufferings in his deep love for those whom he came to save. How cold our love, how feeble our interest, when compared with the love and interest manifested by our Savior! Jesus gave himself to redeem our race, And yet how ready are we to excuse ourselves from giving all that we have for Jesus? Our Savior submitted to wearing labor, ignominy, and suffering. He was repulsed, mocked, derided, while engaged in the great work which he came to earth to do. Do you, my brethren and sisters, inquire, what model shall we copy? I do not point you to great and good men, but to the world's Redeemer. If we would have the true missionary spirit, we must be imbued with the love of Christ. We must look to the author and finisher of our faith, study his character, cultivate his spirit of meekness and humility, and walk in his footsteps. Many suppose that the missionary spirit, the qualification for missionary work, is a special gift or endowment bestowed upon the ministers and a few members of the church, and that all others are to be mere spectators. Never was there a greater mistake. Every true Christian will possess a missionary spirit, for to be a Christian is to be Christ-like. No man liveth to himself, and if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Everyone who has tasted of the powers of the world to come, whether he be young or old, learned or unlearned, will be stirred with the Spirit which actuated Christ. The very first impulse of the renewed heart is to bring others also to the Savior. Those who do not possess this desire give evidence that they have lost their first love. They should closely examine their own hearts in the light of God's Word and earnestly seek a fresh baptism of the Spirit of Christ. They should pray for a deeper comprehension of that wondrous love which Jesus manifested for us in leaving the realms of glory and coming to a fallen world to save the perishing. It is taken Volume 5, pages 385-386. Christ's interpretation of the gospel. The divine commission needs no reform. Christ's way of presenting truth cannot be improved upon. The Savior gave the disciples practical lessons, teaching them how to work in such a way as to make souls glad in the truth. He sympathized with the weary, the heavy laden, the oppressed. He fed the hungry and healed the sick. Constantly he went about doing good. But the good he accomplished, by his loving words and kindly deeds, he interpreted the gospel to men. Brief as was the period of his public ministry, he accomplished the work he came to do. How impressive were the truths he taught! How complete his life work! What spiritual food he daily imparted as he presented the bread of life to thousands of hungry souls! His life was a living ministry of the word. He promised nothing that he did not perform. The words of life were presented in such a simplicity that a child could understand them. Men, women, and children were so impressed with his manner of explaining the scriptures that they would catch the very intonation of his voice, place the same emphasis on their words, and imitate his gestures. Youth caught his spirit of ministry and sought to pattern after his gracious ways by seeking to assist those who they saw needing help. Just as we trace the pathway of a stream of water by the line of living green it produces, so Christ could be seen in the deeds of mercy that marked his pathway at every step. Wherever he went, health sprang up, and happiness followed wherever he passed. The blind and deaf rejoiced in his presence. His words to the ignorant opened to them a fountain of life. He dispensed his blessings abundantly and continuously. They were the gardenered treasures of eternity, given in Christ, the Lord's rich gift to man. Christ's work in behalf of man is not finished. It continues today. In like manner, his ambassadors are to preach the gospel and to reveal his pitying love for lost and perishing souls. By an unselfish interest in those who need help, they are to give a practical demonstration of the truth of the gospel. Much more than mere sermonizing is included in this work. The evangelization of the world is the work of God that he has given to those who go forth in his name. They are to be co-laborers with Christ, revealing to those ready to perish his tender, pitying love. God calls for thousands to work for him, not by preaching to those who know the truth for this time, but by warning those who have never heard the last message of mercy. Work with a heart filled with an earnest longing for souls. Do medical missionary work. Thus you will gain access to the hearts of people, and the way will be prepared for a more decided proclamation of the truth. Who are laborers together with Christ in this blessed medical missionary work? Who have learned the lessons of the Master and know how to deal skillfully with souls for whom Christ hath died? We need, oh, so much, physicians for the soul who have been educated in the school of Christ and who can work in Christ's lines. Review and Herald, December 17, 1914.